Former Presidents George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush today added their voices to the condemnation of racism and anti-Semitism after President Trump's bizarre press conference yesterday, in which he equated those protesting alongside white supremacists and Nazis in Charlottesville, Virginia on Saturday with the counter-protesters demonstrating against them. Here he is.
Not all of those people were neo-Nazis, believe me. Not all of those people were white supremacists by any stretch. Those people were also there because they wanted to protest the taking down of a statue, Robert E. Lee. So, excuse me, and you take a look at some of the groups and you see, and you know it if you were honest reporters, which in many cases you're not, but many of those people were there to protest the taking down of the statue of Robert E. Lee. So, this week it's Robert E. Lee. I noticed that Stonewall Jackson's coming down. I wonder, is it George Washington next week?
Let's get right to our political analysts. Paris Denard, Republican strategist. Welcome to the studio here in Washington, Paris.
Glad to be here.
And Angela Rai, Democratic strategist. Hi, Angela.
Hello.
And so, Paris, I'm going to start with you. The president, yes, equated both sides, but also sided with those who don't want to take down these symbols of racism, or at least had sympathy for them. David Duke of the KKK tweets out a thank you to President Trump. Did President Trump reveal the real Trump yesterday, as opposed to the one reading a condemnation of hate groups off a teleprompter on Monday? Is this the real President Trump?
I think the real President Trump is the President Trump who disavowed David Duke and the KKK back in March of last year.
I think under this, force. It took Jake Tapper many times to get him to do that, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think he disavowed them. I think this is the same Donald Trump who disavowed the group and said hatred, bigotry, and violence have no place in American society. I think it's the same Donald Trump who did that on Saturday. And think even on the press conference yesterday, whether or not people think that it was scripted or unscripted or unhinged, whatever the words you want to say, he still, even in that press conference, condemned neo-Nazis and said that he condemned them and said they had no place in society. And so we wanted him to say it. We want him to say it repeatedly, and he's done so.
Paris, I think that a lot of your Republican colleagues have been much more critical of how he's handled this. Do you not want to join them in looking at what happened Saturday and looking at what happened yesterday and saying it was, I mean, as Charles Krauthammer on Fox News said, it was a moral disgrace?
I think a lot of my Republican colleagues have never been on the side of the president, so I wouldn't expect them to do it now. So I'm not surprised that Krauthammer and other people would say what they are saying. All I'm saying is this. The president did denounce them. He did disavow them. We may not like his style. We may not like his cadence. We may like the way he comes to different points and conclusions. But he did disavow them. He did say that they have no place in society, and that's a good thing. What I hope that we do is look forward and to figure out the root causes of this, because we can go back to 2015 when we had those young boys in Oklahoma chanting that there's no N-words allowed in SAE. These were middle class,
the fraternity,
middle class white Americans who said this. And this is shocking in 2015. We can go back to 2008 when President Bush had to, George W. Bush had to address the issue of Genesis 6 and had to tell the Americans that lynching was not appropriate and had no place in American society. So this is not a new phenomenon. This is something that we have got to get to the bottom of. And I think the roots of it display in the fact that there's a lot of hopelessness in this country amongst young African Americans, amongst young white people. When you are hungry, when you are poor, when you are illiterate and you have no job, you breathe a lot of hopelessness. And that's what I hope we can move forward and look to and try to solve some of these issues and these problems.
Angela, jump in.
My hopelessness doesn't stem from my joblessness or my illiteracy, because neither of those are my problem. My hopelessness comes from the fact that this man, who we warned America about throughout the 2016 election, won. And he won on the backs of Mexican people who he called drug dealers and rapists. He won on the backs of the Central Park Five, who he called for the death penalty for. He won on the backs of—
And they were exonerated later.
That's not even my point. My point is that this man who built his career, his professional life on bigotry and racism was the same person he was as a professional in New York as he was a candidate. And we should not be surprised. And all I can tell the American people is we told you so. My hopelessness comes from the fact that he is a bigot. My hopelessness comes from the fact that his rhetoric is rooted in white supremacy. My hopelessness comes from the fact that this is a violent day and age. And Charlottesville, we told you you to. We told you in Baltimore. We told you in Ferguson. We told you in St. Paul. We have been telling you this. This is a problem. It is a code red. It is time for the American people, regardless of your race or your gender, your religion, your ethnicity, or whatever else, to wake up. This is a huge problem.
Angela, what do you think of people like House Speaker Paul Ryan and some other Republicans who have come out and they've kind of distanced themselves from what President Trump has been saying, but to many, not nearly strongly enough?
I'll say this. You can't with history is not kind to people who are lukewarm. History is not kind to those who kind of stood up against slavery. History is not kind to those who kind of stood up against the Holocaust. You have to be black or white on this issue, and no pun intended here, because I think you can be black or white regardless of your race. But it is time for us to call it what it is. This is a problem. It is violent, hateful speech, and that is where we are. And this president is not a leader. He has demonstrated his inability to tone things down. That is why Barack Obama is still, you know, the person folks are looking to, even on social media, for answers, because this man is doing the very opposite of what we would expect a commander-in-chief to do in these times.
Look, let's hear from another Republican, and then afterwards, Paris, I want to ask you about this. This is on ABC's Good Morning America. There are some voices, as you said, Jeremy, and this is the head of the Republican Party, Ronna Romney McDaniel. She defended the president's three attempts to condemn the violence in Charlottesville. And then she said this.
We have no place in our party at all for KKK, anti-Semitism, racism, bigotry. It has no place in the Republican Party. There is no home here. We don't want your vote.
So there is one voice, Paris. But people think that President Trump is speaking out of both sides of his mouth and sending huge dog whistles to white supremacists, to Nazis, that he doesn't really mean it when he says like things like that. Paris, I know this has been very hard for you. You've had your African-Americanism challenged on the cable shows that you appear on. Especially in the African-American community, you hear a president say that, I sympathize with these people who don't want these statues removed. How do you defend that?
I can't defend the people who have attacked my blackness. I can't defend the people who have called for me to be killed, who've told me if I step foot in their neighborhoods that they will murder me and murder my mother, murder my family, murder. I can't defend the hatred that has come towards me because I'm a free-thinking African-American who happens to be Republican and believes that the president did the right thing by condemning and distancing himself and the party from these hateful people. But I will say this. The president, in my opinion, has disavowed it. And it's up to the rest of us to join hands and to figure out ways that we can do in our own community.
But are you willfully ignoring what he did yesterday? That was embracing. That was embracing white supremacists, Nazis. We are hearing from Jewish people who are considering leaving the country. This isn't just a black-white issue.
It's certainly not a black-white issue. And I think that there's people like Dr. Condoleezza Rice who said that we cannot whitewash that we can't wash over and erase our history. We need to have there is a growing contingency of people who believe that taking away all of these statues is not that best thing to do.
They weren't there. We've had reporters say they weren't there. These were white supremacists and Nazis.
I'm just talking about some of the things that I'm hearing from people that saying we shouldn't just erase our history. We need to learn. A lot of these millennials don't know the history. If we use this same logic, let's get rid of the Holocaust Museum. Let's get rid of the African American Museum. No, we need to keep those there. And if you want to keep the monuments of the Confederate, put up something that tells you what they did and why it was wrong, and have an understanding to know that these people were terrible and that what they did was wrong.
Angela, let's let you in there.
Here's the problem. There's a total difference between erasing history and honoring the Confederacy. And I think that is where there is a hard line in the sand for many of us who cannot stand the fact that our ancestors suffered through the transatlantic slave trade, bled, died, were raped, killed, and treated like mammals, like treated like beasts. That is the real problem here. And Paris, I have to believe that you don't think that we have to revere the Confederacy by holding up monuments and statues. Your president is the same one who said, instead of Harriet Tubman being on the $20 bill, perhaps we can put her on the $2 bill. This is the same person. So it's not about revering and honoring history. We don't have a damn Hitler statue up. There's a reason for that. And so I'm saying we need to honor our blackness enough and force the rest of the American people to honor black people enough to not disrespect us by honoring and revering the Confederacy. That is the problem. And until we get on that page, we're going to continue to have the issues that we've seen in Charlottesville this week.
I think we need to leave it right there just because of our time restrictions. But I also want to point out some breaking news this afternoon, which is President Trump has just tweeted today, rather than putting pressure on the business people of the Manufacturing Council and Strategy and Policy Forum, I am ending both. So a bit of news there, and we will pick that up as we continue to follow
after
it.
Several lefts because of what we're talking about. Yeah.
Well, Paris Denard, Republican strategist, and Angela Rye, Democratic strategist, thanks so much as always.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.